Well, as I mentioned this morning, the final installment of our series, Debunking Darwin. Over the last three Sundays, we've answered three pressing questions that are most commonly going to arise in your conversations with evolutionists. And they are, how old is the Earth? Evolutionists say that the Earth is billions of years old, and which one you talk to, the age of the Earth will range, but it's always in the billions. Well, as believers, as biblical creationists, we believe the Earth is only 6,000 to 8,000 years old, and we went over a lot of evidence, both biblical, scientific. The case is very, very strong and very, in my opinion, crystal clear. The Earth is not billions of years old, but 6,000 to 8,000, as the Bible says. Was there a global flood? Last Sunday, we took a look at all the evidences of a global flood, both from the Bible and from all of the cultures around the world. Of the 150 ancient cultures, guess how many has a record of a global flood event? 150. It's 100%. It's amazing. And then this morning, we're going to consider, when did dinosaurs roam the earth? You know, dinosaurs never stop growing as long as they're alive. And it's interesting, my family toured Wakulla Springs not long ago, and we went on the glass bottom boat out there, and it was very interesting because there's all kinds of alligators that are along the track, and you can see them sunbathing on the shore. And the guide talked to us about how the age of the alligator it doesn't matter, because the size is determined by the food source. And as long as they have plenty of food and as long as they can stay alive, they will continue to grow. So the dinosaurs lived a long time. They were protected from the harmful effects of radiation. We talked about in a previous message the vapor barrier that was over the earth prior to the flood, and how the flood, as the water burst forth from the core of the earth and the spring shot, and as the volcanoes erupted, that this layer of ice crystal that super oxygenated the earth and allowed people to live for 1,000 years in some cases, and animals to grow very, very large. We saw that last Sunday in our sermon on Noah and the evidence that there was a global flood. So we wonder how dinosaurs got so large. Well, it was because of that vapor barrier of super oxygenated air. Did you know that the Bible has a clear record of dinosaurs? We find that, if you'll turn with me in your Bible to Genesis 1, 24 and 25. That's where we'll begin this morning. Genesis 1, 24 and 25. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures, that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind, and it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds, and God saw it was good. We see God creating animals according to their kind. And then we see God creating man and woman the very next day. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that if animals were created on one day of creation and then man was created on the next day of creation, that they had to exist simultaneously. Amen? So, but the thing is, evolutionists say that evolution say that dinos, that's my abbreviation for dinosaurs, in case you were wondering, existed 235 million years before man evolved. And that they were dead and extinct before man evolved. So do you see how biblical creation and evolution cannot stand together? They are mutually exclusive. They simply cannot agree. The Bible gives us a framework for explaining dinosaur in terms of thousands of years of history and solving the mystery of when they lived and what happened to them. So the history, their history, according to evolutionists, in the fossil layers of the earth, which were deposited over millions of years, they were so successful as a group of animals that they eventually ruled the earth. However, around 65 million years ago, something happened to change all of this. The dinosaurs just disappeared. Most evolutionists believe that some sort of cataclysmic event, such as an asteroid impact, killed them. But many evolutionists claim that some dinosaurs evolved into birds, and thus they are not extinct, but they're still flying around us today. Somehow we just never see them. Now, the differing view of creation says that dinos existed 6,000 years ago alongside man. God made the dinosaurs along with the other land animals on day 6 of creation. Adam and Eve were also made on day 6. So dinosaurs lived at the same time as people, not separated by eons of time. It's as simple as that. After the flood, around 4,500 years ago, the remnant of land animals, including dinosaurs, came off the ark and lived in the present world along with people. Now, because of sin and judgment and the curse, the flood greatly changed the earth. The post-flood climatic change that I just mentioned, after the vapor barrier was destroyed, caused a cataclysmic effect in the lifespan of man and the animals and plants alike. There was disease. There was lack of food. The dinosaurs, like many other creatures, eventually died out. So why is there such a big mystery about dinosaurs? And why are these views so different? Well, let's take a look at the evidence from the fossils. The study of fossils is called paleontology. A paleontologist who believes the record of the Bible that claims to be the Word of God will come to a very different conclusion from an atheist paleontologist who rejects the Bible outright. As we talked about a few weeks ago, why are scientists so dead set against the biblical account of creation? Well, it's there in 2 Peter 3:3-7 that says that they will willfully deny the truth. And that lies at the root of many disputes over this sort of historical scientists. Evolutionists claim that dinosaurs lived millions and millions of years ago and predated man. But it's important to realize that when they dig up a dinosaur bone, it does not have a label attached showing the date that it died. There are no dinosaur tombstones laying across the face of the earth. Evolutionists obtain their dates by indirect dating methods that other scientists question. And there is much evidence against their claim that dinosaurs predated man by millions and millions of years. So what do the bones say? Did you know that recently that there were red blood cells found in a slice of T-Rex bone? This was analyzed over years and years and years and was certified by many other scientists, but still other evolutionary scientists dispute this claim. There is absolutely no way for any of you who know anything about biology for a red blood cell to survive for millions of years. It would all be gone. It would all be fossilized. So the fossils say that dinosaurs did not live millions of years ago, but thousands. This thin slice of T-Rex bone glowed amber beneath the lens of my microscope, reports the scientist. The lab filled with murmurs of amazement, for I had focused on something inside the vessels that none of us had ever noticed before, tiny round objects, translucent red and dark center, red blood cells. The shape and location suggested them, but blood cells are mostly water and couldn't possibly have stayed preserved in the 65 million year old Tyrannosaurus Rex. The bone sample that had us so excited came from a beautiful, nearly complete specimen of a T-Rex unearthed in 1990. When the team brought the dinosaur into the lab, we noticed some parts deep inside the long bone of the leg had not completely fossilized. So far, we think all of this evidence supports the notion that our slices of T-Rex could contain preserved hemoglobin fragments. But more work needs to be done before we are confident enough to come right out and say, yes, this T-Rex has blood compounds left in its tissues. So even she was strong-armed into couching and almost apologizing for her findings. A second male mammal fossil at the same site claims the distinction of being the largest early mammal ever found. Now, understand that evolutionists say that dinosaurs predated mammals. And if you study the periods of time of evolution, this breathtaking discovery is 20 times larger than most mammals living in the early Cretaceous period. Considering the specimens in tandem, scientists suggest the period in which these animals lived may have been much different than is commonly understood as the age of the dinosaurs, a time dominated by long-necked 85-ton plant eaters and the emergence of terrifying theropod hunters with blade-like teeth and sickle claws. It appears that at least some smaller dinosaur had to look over their shoulders for snarling meat-eating mammals claiming the same turf. This evidence once again flies in the face of the evolutionary time period that claims that the dinosaurs predated mammals. Or equally mysterious is how these specimens died in the same area at the same time. Neither show evidence of being hunted themselves. This Yixian rock formation in which their bones were encased was a combination of river sediments and volcanic ash called tuff. The formation also includes fossils of insects, frogs, and other creatures, suggesting, guess what? A mass die-off. And evolutionists want to claim that a meteor hit the earth, rather than admitting that this mass die-off of all these different species of animals at all the same time occurred just as the Bible said, as the floodwaters encased the earth. Listen to how they explain it. It's possible that poisonous volcanic gas killed the animals when they were sleeping, Ming said. Then there wasn't a catastrophic explosion that buried the whole thing. It was just another attempt to explain away the flood of Noah. But why does it matter? Why does it matter that a large mammal fossil was found in the same bone bed with dinosaur fossils? Why does it matter that that red blood cells were found in the bone of a T-Rex? You know, although dinosaurs are fascinating, some readers may say, what's the big deal? Surely there are more important issues to deal with in today's world, such as abortion, family breakdown, racism, promiscuity, dishonesty, euthanasia, suicide, lawlessness. The list can go on and on and on. In fact, we should be telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, not worrying about issues like dinosaurs and the flood. Actually, the evolutionary teachings on dinosaurs that pervade society and are in your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews' textbooks in their public schools. These teachings tell them that they are only an animal. These teachings tell them that there is no God to save them, so they have to save themselves. These teachings tell them that since you're just an animal, do whatever feels good. And that truth is not absolute. It's what you decide your truth is. If everything made itself through natural processes without God, then God does not own us and has no right to tell us how to live. In fact, God does not really exist in this way of thinking, so there is no absolute basis for morality. Without God, anything goes. Concepts, right and wrong, are just a matter of opinion. And without a basis for morality, there is no such thing as a sin. And if there is no such thing as a sin, there was no need for a Savior. And if there is no Savior, then what's the point? There was no virgin birth. There was no perfect life. There was no resurrection from the dead. And Paul says, if there was no resurrection, everything we believe is in vain. So you see how all of this builds off a seemingly offhand sermon topic like, did dinosaurs live with man? Because how you answer the question, did God create the heavens and the earth, and is the Bible true, as I said at the very beginning of this sermon series, determines what you believe about everything else. So I thought that this was a very appropriate sermon topic. I know that it's a little technical, and I know I'm quoting scientists, and I know that your eyes may roll up in your head, but I hope that at the end of the day, you will understand that I love you enough to tell you the truth and try to equip you. Chris and Tracy have tried to equip you through their discipleship study with how to talk intelligently with your evolutionary friends and family members. So let's take a look at the implications here. What are the implications? And that what conclusions do we draw from both the biblical account and the fossil record? First, dinosaurs lived alongside man, according to Genesis 1:24. They were both created by God. And they lived at exactly the same time. The Bible says Adam named the animals. I don't know how Adam knew how to spell Tyrannosaurus. I don't know how he knew how to say Brachiosaurus. I'm not even going to try to pronounce any of the other sauruses. But dinosaurs did live, and they lived at the same time as man. There is more and more evidence to support this. Dinosaur bones have been found along with human bones in the same fossil bed. And fossilized human footprints have been found inside fossilized dinosaur footprints. You know when something big is out in the woods and you put your foot inside, and if their foot is bigger than your foot, you want to go the other way? Well, that's what early man did. When they saw a dinosaur footprint that going a certain way, they wanted to go the opposite direction. Very interesting. But you'll never see that in students' textbooks. I believe God created dinosaurs when he created the earth. I believe Noah took some dinosaurs on the ark with them. Now remember, he only had to take two of each kind. And two of each kind, according to fossil records, would amount to about 110. And he could take very young, very small dinosaurs so that they could have lived longer and that the reproducing cycle would have begun once the ark landed. Do you not think if Noah was smart enough to follow God as God brought the animals together, that he could figure out that he needed to take smaller ones so that they all would fit on the ark? I think so. I think God's smart enough, and so was Noah, to figure that out. Dinosaurs became extinct long after the flood. There are some written records that would lead us to believe that there were a few dinosaurs still living up until rather recent time. In fact, some scientists believe there are still some dinosaurs living in parts of the earth. Did you know that Alexander the Great in 300 BC claimed that a dragon more than 100 feet long stuck its head out of a cave in India and hissed at his soldiers? Interesting. Could this have been a dinosaur still living? Possibly. Remember, the term dinosaur, which means big lizard, was not even coined until 1831. So, more evidence that there may be still some examples of dinosaurs living in places that we perhaps have not yet explored. The Bible describes dinosaur-like creatures. I alluded to one earlier, the behemoth. The behemoth, the Bible refers to land-dwelling dinosaurs as behemoths, and the dinosaurs of the sea as Leviathan, and we'll see an example both from Job. Look at the behemoth, which I made along with you and which feeds on grass like an ox. So it was an herbivore. Okay, what strength it has in its loins, what power in the muscles of its belly. Its tail sways like a cedar. Focus especially on that phrase as I tell you how they try to explain this away. The sinews of its thighs are close-knit. Its bones are tubes of bronze, its limbs like rods of iron. It ranks first among the works of God, yet that its maker can approach it with its sword. So this animal had a tail like a cedar. Yet there are even biblical commentators. That's why you have to really take a hard look at who's commentating your study Bible. They try to say it's a hippopotamus or an elephant. Have you ever seen an elephant's tail? It's about that long. Or maybe about that long. A hippopotamus's tail is even smaller. It's more like a flap of skin. Neither one of those would I describe as a cedar. A cedar. Could this be the brontosaurus? I know that's been renamed, but I'll always call it that, so don't correct me, Brother Chris. There you go, whatever. I knew you were going to correct me anyway. That's fine. So, is there another word for dinosaur? There are dragon legends from around the world. Many dragon descriptions fit the characteristics of specific dinosaurs. Could these actually be accounts of encounters with what now we would call a dinosaur? That word wasn't coined when these accounts were written. So they used other words to describe them. The next is a Leviathan. Look at this in Job 41 through 5. I get criticized sometimes for being kind of a little bit sarcastic, but this is God talking, and you're about to see sarcasm dripping off the words of God here, all right? So all of my sarcastic friends out there, and you know who you are, take heart. There is sarcasm in the Bible. All right, look at this. Can you pull in a Leviathan with a fish hook or tie down its tongue with a rope? No. Can you put a cord through its nose or pierce its jaw with a hook? No. Will it keep begging you for mercy? Will it speak to you with gentle words? Will it make an agreement with you for you take it as your slave for life? Can you make a pet of it like a bird or put it on a leash for the young women in your house? Biblical commentators explain away the Leviathan as a whale. Okay? Interesting. Let's take a look. Have you seen a whale's nose? Where does a whale breathe out of? A blowhole on the top of its head, at the base of its neck there. How would you put a ring through a blowhole? That'd be pretty difficult. This clearly, can you put a cord through its nose or pierce its jaw with a hook? Dear friend, I would never stand before you and espouse fairy tales. But this simply seems to say that there was a dinosaur-like creature that dwelt in the waters of the earth. The Hebrew word commonly translated as dragon in the King James appears in the Old Testament 30 times. There are passages in the Bible about dragons that lived on the land. In Genesis 1:21, the NIV Bible says, "So God created creatures of the sea and every living thing which is in the water that teems with life, that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind." But the NASB, interestingly enough, translates the same passage, "And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves with the waters swarmed after their kind." There are other Bible passages about dragons that lived in the sea. "It was you who split open the sea by your power. You broke the heads of the monster in the waters," says Psalm 74:13. "The Lord will punish with his sword, his fierce, great, and powerful sword, Leviathan, the gliding serpent, Leviathan, the coiling serpent." Isaiah 27:1. The word dinosaur strictly refers to animals that lived on the land. The sea reptiles and flying reptiles are often grouped with the dinosaurs. The sea dragons have included dinosaur-type animals such as the, I'm going to embarrass myself here, but the Mosasaurus. Job 41 describes a great animal that lived in the sea, this Leviathan that I just read to you about. This dragon may have been something like the mighty 17-meter-long Kronosaurus or the 25-meter-long Leopleurodon. There is also a mention of a flying serpent in the Bible, the fiery serpent, in Isaiah 30, verse 6. This could be a reference to one of the pterodactyls, which are popular popularly thought of as flying dinosaurs, such as the pterodon. Not long after the flood, God was showing a man called Job how great he was as a creator by reminding Job of a massive creature he made, referring to the behemoth that I just shared with you. You know, it's amazing how even biblical commentators try to cater to evolutionary thinking by trying to explain away the fact that dinosaurs roamed the earth with man. And if Genesis is true, and I believe with every fiber of my being it is, and I hope you do too, our conclusion simply must be that dinosaurs and man coexisted on the earth. There are a number of other ancient records of dinosaurs. I'll just give you a few of them. There's a Sumerian story dating back to 2000 BC or more that tells of a hero named Gilgamesh who, when he went to fell cedars in a remote forest, encountered a huge, vicious dragon which he slew, cutting off its head as a trophy. I alluded to Alexander the Great and his soldiers as they marched into India in 330 BC. They found that the Indians worshipped huge, hissing reptiles that they kept in caves. China is renowned for its dragon stories, and dragons are prominent on Chinese pottery, embroidery, and carvings. Could these all just refer to myths? Or is there some basis of fact? England has its story of St. George, who slew a dragon that lived in a cave. There is the story of a 10th century Irishman who wrote of his encounter with what appears to have been a stegosaurus. In the 1500s, a European scientific book, Historia Animalium, listed several animals that we would call dinosaurs as still alive. A well-known naturalist at the time, Ulysses Aldrovandrus, recorded an encounter between a peasant named Baptista and a dragon whose description fits that of the old small dinosaur, Tanistrophius. The encounter was on the 13th of May, 1572, near Bologna, Italy, and I didn't call it Bologna, it's Bologna, and the peasant killed the dragon. And it's recorded, there's a date on the recording, and yet all of these facts are simply ignored. Scientists have ignored cave drawings. That when they draw a picture of them eating or having some kind of festival, they take that as fact. But if there's a drawing of what appears to be a dinosaur, that is outrightly rejected and written off, because it doesn't fit into their box of what they believe happened. Dear friend, this really matters. So let's take a look at some important conclusions. The fossil record and Scripture agree, dear friend. There is no proof in the fossil record whatsoever that evolution is true. There is no proof of transitional life forms. There is no proof of anything that evolutionists claim. Yet, we as creationists can point to the fossil record while evolutionists try their best to ignore it. We can say the Bible agrees with history. I've told you about the ancient cultures that believed in the flood, ancient cultures that told of reptiles that would be described as dragons today. Remember, the term dragon didn't even come into existence until 1831. So all these ancient stories have just been written off as either fairy tale or they must have been mistaken. Dear friend, we don't have to point to what ifs and maybes and perhaps. We can point to the truth of God's word and stand upon it. I hope if this sermon series has done nothing else for you, it's helped you to trust God's word even more. It is absolute truth. And you can count on it and depend on it and live by it.